And welcome to the Sportscast, May 3rd, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe. Please subscribe in all our platforms, including YouTube and iTunes. The second round of the NBA playoffs have begun, and some teams that are propping up, some teams that are higher seed, are strengthening their positions. And on the line, we got Ryan Krista. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, Kyrie, glad to be here to talk a little sports with you here on a Thursday afternoon.
Thursday afternoon. So last night, we had the Utah Jazz tie up the series 1-1 against the Houston Rockets. Game one did not look good for the Jazz. What do you think made the difference?
Game one, they started the series about Ricky Rubio. And it kind of was an adjustment period. Ricky Rubio did a lot for the Jazz. I think one of the differences that from last year to this year is that they got this, a true, pass first point guard, can makes everybody better in the court. And now all of a sudden he's off the court. And now Donovan Mitchell has got to have to do a little bit more. And it kind of got to him the first game, and I think he tried to do too much. Yesterday, it was a great team effort. Joe Ingles scores 27 points. How many people before last night knew who Joe Ingles was? Alec Burke hardly played the first series, comes in, scores 17 points. This is the Utah Jazz are truly a team-first team. And, ahead of any stars, they have to deal with Donovan Mitchell, who didn't even have a great game last night, but yet they were, able to take control over the Rockets in the first half, take a punch from them in the third quarter, and then kind of blow them out in the fourth quarter. I didn't see it coming. I don't know about you, Santiago, but that was a big surprise last night.
Yeah, I was really surprised because, everyone and myself were thinking, well, with no Ricky Rubio, it's not really the Utah Jazz. Joe Ingles had 27 points. Derek Favors had 10. Rudy Gobert had 15. And Donovan Mitchell had 17. So they had, four scorers scoring double digits, which helped.
Yeah, this team, while they rely on Donovan Mitchell to do most of their scoring, they defend as a team. They just work hard. The Rockets, I just don't think, were mentally ready for this game last night. And it showed, they fell behind. And I think it took too much energy to get back in the game, and they just had nothing left in the fourth quarter. But at the same time, I think game three in Utah, the Rockets are going to come out and kind of play that basketball we're used to Rockets playing, spreading the court, shooting the threes. If you look, they did not shoot that many threes last night. Jazz shot almost as many three-pointers and shot a better percentage. And that's, I think, one of the big reasons why the Jazz were successful. They were able to really keep the Rockets off the three-point line and force them to drive the ball. That's when teams have success against the Rockets, because they don't want them to just shoot the three. They chase them hard and make a lot of these players who don't have the greatest ability to put the ball on the floor, i.e. Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, T.J. Tucker. Those are three-point shooters. When you make them go on the floor, they're not the same players.
Yeah, the Houston Rockets, here where the score is, Clint Capella had 21 points. James Harden had 32. Chris Paul had 23. Eric Gordon had 15. But Trevor Ariza only had 5.
Yeah, they just did not have their A game last night. And that's the beauty of the NBA playoffs. You have a bad game, you're a good team, you regroup, and now you got to go and do it in Utah, which I think they'll be able to handle at least one of the next two games in Utah and take back control of this series.
Where do you see this series going? Who do you think will take it?
I think the Jazz, they split the next two games in Utah, and I think the Rockets will win the next two after that, and I think they'll win in 6 games.
Do you think Ricky Rubio will come back before the series ends?
Yeah, they said it, 7 to 10 days, so assuming the series goes 5 to 6 games, he's got a good chance of coming back, but is he going to rush him back? Is he going to be fully healthy? Up in the air, it's hard to imagine him coming back and being the player he was, especially against the Rockets.
Who is
another Rockets Thunder?
Who is the go-to guy for the Jazz right now?
It's Donovan Mitchell. He came on the scene that his first-round pick last year, but I don't think anybody expected him to be the star he was this year, and could be and should be the Rookie of the Year this year.
And
but,
who do you think?
You know, I can't emphasize enough about this. You know, this team. You know, Quinn Snyder is a heck of a coach. They play defense. They've got a great defender in Rudy Gobert, and they just kind of play within their system. This is a team that lost by far their best player in the offseason, Gordon Hayward. Traded away Rodney Hood, Joe Johnson off this team, you know, and then they come in and bring in, you know, Jay Crowder, who kind of fits this tough, rugged style that the Jazz like to play.
Who do you think should be, like, the second scorer for the Jazz?
Yeah, right now, Rudy Gobert is not a player they throw the ball into a lot to score. He's their second-best overall player. But, you know, when it comes to scoring right now, you know, is it Jay Crowder off the bench? Maybe. Is it doing this? That's the problem, you know. The good and the bad is, they don't have – they could hit you with a bunch of different players. If you take Donovan Mitchell away, you know, who's going to take that shot? As we speak right now, I'm going to say it's Joe Ingles.
Yeah, Joe Ingles might be the unsurprising go-to guy, but someone has to step it up to handle what.
Another player, you know, and I thought, you know, he had to step up, and I think played a great game last night, is Dante Exum, a former top five pick at the Jazz a couple years ago. He's been battling injuries most of his time in Utah, but this player's got a lot of talent, you know, from Australia. I think one of their players to look for in the future that's going to carry this organization. So it was nice to see him playing well.
Yeah, he had 9 points. Jay Crowder had 15, and Alex Burks had 17. So you had a lot coming out from the bench.
Like I said earlier, Alex Burks is another former first-round pick of the Jazz. You know, had a couple good years, but, you know, most of this year he's buried on the bench. Didn't play very much, especially against the Thunder. Very little action. You know, they need him to step up last night, and as a true professional, Tim. Yeah, it just, you know, it's remarkable to watch this team, you know. Not really no major superstars, but they just battle their hearts out.
What are the chances or the odds for the Jazz to win this series?
I don't think high, but, you know, that's what they do. They want you to think they're the underdog. They want to play the chip on their shoulder. And that's kind of the Utah Jazz way, you know. That's growing up, you know, that. You never thought that Karl Malone, John Stockton team, while they had those two good players, they never had any great players around them. But yet, they just continue to win games. They grind it out. That's kind of the way that people like it in Utah, you know, not flashy, play good defense, rebound their basketball. And that's just kind of, when the Jazz are at their best, that's what they do.
The NFL draft has been over a week. Here were the top 10. The Browns selected Baker Mayfield. The Giants selected Barkley. The Jets selected Sam Darnold. The Browns selected Denzel Ward. The Broncos selected Bradley Chubb. Colts selected Quentin Nelson. Bills selected Josh Allen. The Bears selected Roquan Smith. The Niners selected Mike McGlinchey. And the Cardinals selected Josh Rosen. What were your overall thoughts on the NFL Draft 2018?
We talked about it before the draft. It's, you know, where were the quarterbacks going to fall? It seemed that leading up to the draft, you know, there wasn't much talk of, you know, we knew Baker Mayfield was going to be highly picked, the high pick, but we did not think he was going to be the first overall pick. And the kind of news broke early on draft day last Thursday that word is that the Browns are going to pick Baker Mayfield, and I was shocked because, to me, it was coming down to Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. But there's kind of a curveball there. And, you know, the draft, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of when the draft really, you know, even though it was the first pick, it just kind of changed everybody's mock drafts up because no one really expected that Baker Mayfield was going to be that number one pick.
How do you think the Broncos did by picking Bradley Chubb?
Oh, I don't think they expected to pick Bradley Chubb. They wanted Bradley Chubb, but, you know, word was that the Bills and Broncos had a trade literally in place, ready to go. And the Broncos next, as soon as the Browns picked Denzel Ward, because they knew if they got Bradley Chubb, this is a difference maker. Now, you've got two superior defensive ends with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. And now you got Shane Ray and Shaquille Barrett coming off the bench for that. This, you know, the most important positions on the NFL, the way it's going, with you got to have great pass rushers, because if you give these NFL quarterbacks time, they're going to pick you apart no matter how great your secondary is. So it is utmost importance to find pass rushers. And now you've got a really great, you know, bookends for it. You got Von Miller, you know, still kind of in his prime, and now you got to have this new superstar Bradley Chubb, hopefully coming from the other side. It was just like, a lucky win, but nice pickup for the Broncos.
And you were right; you did predict that the Broncos will probably not go for a quarterback.
That was probably my surprise. I thought they were going to go quarterback. They didn't even draft one of them. That leads me to believe that they, you know, they really like Case Keenum, and they're not going to give up on Paxton Lynch right now. And another name I'm going to throw out at you on the Broncos roster is former Ole Miss quarterback and nephew of NFL great Jim Kelly, Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly, you know, tore his ACL senior year in college, was not able to really participate in the NFL last year. Mr. Irrelevant, the Broncos picked him in the last pick of the draft last year. He's a big guy with a big arm. You know, if he ever, you know, puts it all together, gets him off the field issues, that's a name you could watch out in the future for the Broncos.
The Denver Broncos had no quarterback. They have a good defense. They strengthened their defense by getting some players like Bradley Chubb. And who were the winners and losers? Who do you which team got stronger? Which team did not choose wise?
It's hard to get out of San Diego. We talk about winners and losers of the draft. We may tell a team lost a draft, but, you know, if they really like a player and they went out and drafted him and he ends up being good, did they really lose that draft? So it's harder for the losers right now. If last year the Browns picked the same two players, it was, you know, kind of unconventional picking Baker Mayfield number one, Denzel Ward, while he was a great player, probably not deserving of a number four pick, we would have ripped him. But they've been some NFL smart guys, and John Dorsey, who is, you know, one of the reasons why the Chiefs are so successful and have such a great roster, they bring him in, you know, they're kind of gotten the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say, you know, they have the most to lose, because, you know, you have a great opportunity to make your team better, and you picked a wild card in Baker Mayfield. But if you really like Baker Mayfield, and you feel like as an organization, you really missed out on Wentz and Goff a couple of years ago, you've got to find that NFL. You've got to find that great quarterback to win in this league. And if they think Baker Mayfield is that, even though he doesn't have the measurables, you know, the height, the arm strength that you would want in a number one quarterback, if they feel like that's the guy to do it, you know, they went out and got him, and, you know, we'll see what hit. But I feel like they have the most to gain and the most to lose. I really like, you know, I really like the Colts picking up Quentin Nelson, because, again, hopefully Andrew Luck is coming back. And the problem with the Colts is they haven't been able to keep them upright, you know, have not had a great offensive line. And if you got this great player now in Quentin Nelson for hopefully 10, 15 years plus, you know, they need to rebuild that offensive line, because they are nothing if they can't keep Andrew Luck protected. You know, like I said, you know, we're going to see this time next year, you know, the winners and losers. Because, you know, it's really one of the interesting things of the NFL draft, especially these quarterbacks. You know, which of them are going to get on the field first? Is Baker Mayfield going to get on the field? They got Tyrod Taylor. Is, you know, Josh Allen get on the field? They got A.J. McCarron in Buffalo. Josh Rosen, is he going to get on the field? But they have Sam Bradford. You know, which one of these teams is going to give in first and put in their franchise quarterback? Are the Ravens, are they ditching on Joe Flacco right now? Are they going to really change the way that, because Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson are nothing alike. But, you know, there's a lot of staleness to the Ravens right now. They're pretty much the same football team for so long, but they, you know, ever since they won the Super Bowl, they really haven't done very much. In the playoffs last year, I think there's a growing sense in Baltimore that things got to change, and, you know, bringing in a quarterback like Lamar Jackson will really change things up.
Yeah, I was really surprised they grabbed a quarterback. Maybe they just needed some more backups, and, you know, Flacco is in his early 30s, so, but today's quarterback, they might.
You're going to see Lamar Jackson, I think, come on the field in special situations next year. Whether it'll be like a special two-point play, you know, maybe a wildcat, you know, once in a great while. But you will see him on the field as kind of a secret weapon type of player next year.
Also, the Buffalo Bills drafted Josh Allen. Do you and this might be the first franchise quarterback since Bledsoe. Do you think this is was probably one of the best picks Bills have made in recent years?
Time will tell. There's a lot of question marks to come with Josh Allen. You know, he came from Wyoming. He didn't put up good numbers, but he just looks like an NFL quarterback. Big guy, strong arm, big hands. Guy that looks like he's made to play in some bad weather. And, you know, being a resident of Western New York, we have a lot of bad weather up here, especially towards the end of the season. Oh. It's going to take time, and that's why they got a quarterback in A.J. McCarron. I think we'll be able to win some games in Buffalo. You know, he's looking to, you know, have success in Buffalo, so maybe he can get a big contract, whether in Buffalo or somewhere else. There's a guy who sat behind Andy Dalton for his career. He never really gotten a shot to be the starter. So he's going to get his opportunity with a pretty good team around him to make a good impression. But when it comes to Josh Allen, you know, there's a lot of hope here in Western New York that he's the guy that can lead them to not just one good year, but many years of good football.
And the Patriots got their 23rd pick with Isaiah Wynn, and they did choose a quarterback in the later rounds. What are they trying to do?
I wouldn't put anything really to pick up Danny Etling. This is a guy who transferred from Purdue to LSU. This is a guy I think could be a future backup for the league in the long, you know, smart guy, can run your offense, but he's not going to be, he's not Tom Brady, even, he's not the guy they're going to look to build their team around once Tom Brady leaves. But there's a guy I think could be a future backup for this team for many years if he continues to grow as an NFL quarterback. I just think, you know, we talked, you know, we haven't really talked about it, but we know that there's rumor out there that the Patriots really like Baker Mayfield and that they're willing to move up high in the draft if he wasn't drafted number one to pick him to be the future of the Patriots. But, you know, that didn't happen, and I think you're going to see the Patriots definitely, no matter what happens next year for them, go in the first round to pick a quarterback.
And they,
there's only so many more years Tom Brady can do what he does.
And they did get Braxton Berrios, a wide receiver, and which the Dolphins missed out on.
Yeah, this is a, you know, a local South Florida guy, Santiago Braxton Berrios, good punt returner, small guy. You know, kind of reminds you of a Julian Edelman type of player, Santiago.
I heard he actually looks like Wes Welker.
Yeah, you know that. Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, you know, the guy is not going to, they're not going to throw the ball down the field to him, but he's going to catch those short passes and hopefully turn those short passes into big games, you know, making those tough catches on third and short. That's the type of player you're getting in Braxton Berrios. He doesn't have the, he's not the greatest, you know, wide receiver sense of how tall he is. He's not going to go down the field and make plays, but this is a solid player. And you're going to look to see him makes plays on special teams, too, because of his ability to kick return.
And also, the Steelers got an interesting player, and I lost my place here. Maybe you could.
Mason Rudolph, right?
Yes, yes. What are your thoughts about that pick? Is that something that you think he might be the replacement for Ben?
He could be. You know, that's a guy who came from a college, definitely a college type offense. You know, not very complex passes. You know, a lot of short passes. Not something you see a lot in the NFL. Not very complex, but big guy, big arm. You know. So, you know, he's not going to play next year or probably the year after. You hope that Ben will be around. But this is a guy that's going to be able to hopefully lead your team in the future, the Steelers, to success. Is, you know, second round, it's not a huge risk, but it's a somewhat of a little bit of risk taking him. But we'll see what happens.
Like we said, only history can tell. We will never know. We'll see some players playing this upcoming season. Some we don't, we will probably won't see in a year or two, but only history will tell. And we'll see if Baker Mayfield will pull Brett Favre in the future.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope Baker Mayfield does well. You know, he's a fun guy to watch in college. I can only, you know, hopefully he doesn't turn into a Johnny Manziel and phase out of the league before we get really get a chance to watch him play. But, you know, Cleveland is it's a tough team to go to. They've got a lot of years of failure on that team. You know, they didn't go 0-16 for a reason. But I do think they're going in the right direction, especially in their non-draft moves, especially bringing in Jarvis Landry, Carlos Hyde. They're putting a lot of weapons on offense. You know, this defense is not, I don't think, as bad. I'm going to look to see the Browns winning 4 or 5 games next year for sure.
That's saying a lot. So you're saying the curse might be broken?
Not next year, but the year after. I think this team will hopefully contend in 2019.
Hopefully we'll see another good team besides the Cavs in Cleveland. And other news, Jason Witten retires today after 15 seasons. Mr. Cowboy, any thoughts of that?
It's a big loss for the Cowboys. That's a security blanket for any quarterback having a good pass-catching tight end. This is a, you know, player and putting up, you know, Hall of Fame numbers for many years. One of the best consistent tight ends we've ever seen in this league, with the likes of Tony Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp. Just a solid tight end. You know, first ballot Hall of Famer for sure. So, I'm not quite sure how unexpected this was. I don't know if there was talk in the Cowboys front office that this might happen. I'm not quite sure how prepared they were about this, but this definitely a loss for sure, if not on the field, especially in the locker room, because he's a type of player you definitely want on your team for many reasons.
You're right. The whole timing of it was really off because he announced it on a Friday or Saturday during the draft, and I think the Cowboys picked up a tight end towards the end.
Yeah, you know, that's why I feel like, you know, they probably had some sort of an idea, but they may not have thought it was going to be this year. But that's his choice, and I wish him luck, especially if he's starting up on Monday Night Football. I think he's going to do great.
Yeah, he probably got that deal and then decided to retire.
It's a good deal, you know, especially he's been making some pretty good money, you know, working just a couple of days a week, and he won't have to have that grind of playing an NFL season.
Yeah, which, you know, it's really hard, you know, to get a TV deal. I think that happened to Jay Cutler last year. He turned it down to play for the Dolphins. Do you think he'll get back on TV?
I definitely think Jay will be back on TV before you know it, for sure. I don't expect him to be playing football this year.
I think he officially retired second time, but you never know. These guys could change their mind on the day before the season starts. But let's
I
go
think
for...
You're expecting a better result in Miami than really what happened.
Well, as I expected, you get Jay Cutler, you get Jay Cutler. That's what's my expectation. I would have started Matt Moore. And just let him, you know, tough it out. Anyways, let's go for NBA predictions tonight, 6 p.m. on ESPN. Who do you have between the Cavs and Raptors? Cavs went up 1-0 in the series. Everyone was surprised. Everybody thought the Cavs were going to lose because they just came out of a tiring, you know, 7-game series with the Pacers. Who do you think will take game two?
This is a huge game for Toronto. It almost seems that the Cavs, they just, no matter what type of team each team has, the Cavs just have their number. And that was evident. You know, it seemed like the Raptors had that game locked the other night, but some way LeBron James and company were able to steal that game. So this is definitely a must-win game. It's going to be a unique feeling in the Air Canada Center tonight, because I don't think you're going to see a loud crowd. You're going to see an antsy crowd. If things start going bad, I think you're going to see a lot of boos tonight. But I do think the things are going to go well for the Raptors up in Jurassic Park tonight, and I think they get a big victory tonight.
Yeah, I mean, of all the years, this is the weakest of the Cleveland team. And, I mean, if Toronto had to beat Cleveland, it would be this year.
It's got to be this year. And I think this is definitely looking like a 6 or 7 game series, especially if Raptors are able to get a victory tonight.
I honestly think I'm starting to believe this. You can't go against LeBron. I think LeBron's going to win this series, but I think Toronto's going to win tonight. And also, Sixers at the Celtics. Boston took a 1-0 lead after game one. I was surprised. I thought Sixers were going to come out strong, but they didn't. Who do you think will win game two?
Yeah, that was a very surprising game. It just seemed like the Sixers weren't mentally ready for it. They were disinterested on defense. They didn't shoot the ball well. I think you're going to see, again, another game two go quite a bit different than game one did. And I think the Sixers come out strong. And it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to come down the wire, but I do think the Sixers will win in the close game tonight.
And to be honest, Boston is down one other guy. I forgot his name. And they're still good. I mean, I still think they're relying on their system than their stars.
Yeah, this was a great game for the Sixers, but I think they rebound tonight and get a victory.
And there you go. Sixers win. I predict Sixers to go to the finals, but it didn't look like for game one. Ryan Krista, how can people reach you?
Reach me on Facebook, Ryan Krista. Look me up on Twitter at the Mad Dog Report. Love talking sports.
Sports, and that's it. Thank you for coming on to the Sportscast.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Santiago. I love you, Mindy. Bye-bye.